In the late afternoon, as thunderclouds moved in, Oppie drove to the Trinity Tower for one last look at his gadget. Alone, he climbed the tower and inspected his creation, an ugly metal globe studded with detonator plugs. Everything seemed in order, and after surveying the landscape, he climbed down, got back into his vehicle, and drove over to the McDonald Ranch, where the last of the men who had assembled the gadget were packing up their gear. A violent storm was brewing. Back at base camp, Oppie talked with Cyril Smith, one of his senior metallurgists. Oppenheimer did most of the talking, chatting aimlessly about family and life on the Mesa. At one point, the conversation turned briefly philosophical. Scanning the darkening horizon, Oppie muttered, "Funny how the mountains always inspire our work." Smith thought it a moment of calm, quite literally, before the gathering storm. To relieve the tension, some of the scientists organized a betting pool, with $1 a bet to predict the size of the explosion. Teller characteristically bet high, putting his dollar on 45,000 tons of TNT. Oppenheimer bet low, a very modest 3,000 tons. Robbie staked his money on 20,000 tons. And Fermi alarmed some of the army guards by taking side bets on whether the bomb would ignite the atmosphere. That night, those few scientists who managed to sleep a bit were awakened by an extraordinary noise. As Frank Oppenheimer recalled, all the frogs in that area had gathered in a little pond by the camp and copulated and squawked all night long. Oppenheimer hung out in the base camp mess hall, alternately gulping down black coffee and rolling one cigarette after another and smoking them nervously down to the butt. For a time, he pulled out a copy of Baudelaire and sat quietly reading poetry. By then, the storm was pelting the tin roof with a strong downpour. As lightning flashes pierced the darkness outside, Fermi, fearing that the storm's winds might drench them with radioactive rain, said he favored a postponement. "There could be a catastrophe," he warned Oppenheimer. On the other hand, Oppie's chief weatherman, Hubbard, assured him that the storm would pass before sunrise. Hubbard recommended postponing the hour of detonation, moving it from 4 to 5 a.m. An agitated Groves paced the mess hall. Groves disliked Hubbard and thought him obviously confused and badly rattled. He had gone so far as to bring along his own Army Air Force meteorologist. Not trusting Hubbard's assurances, the general was, even so, vigorously opposed to any postponement. At one point, he pulled Oppenheimer aside and listed all the reasons why the test should proceed. Both men knew that everyone was so exhausted that any postponement would have meant delaying the test for at least 2 or 3 days. Worried that some of the more cautious scientists might convince Oppie to postpone the test, Groves took him to the control center at South Shelter, 10,000 yards. This was less than 6 miles from the Trinity site. At 2:30 a.m., the whole test site was being raked by 30-mile-an-hour winds and severe thundershowers. Still, Jack Hubbard and his small team of forecasters predicted that the storm would clear at dawn. Outside the bunker at South, 10,000 yards, Oppenheimer and Groves paced the ground, glancing to the skies every few minutes to see if they could discern a change in the weather. At around 3 a.m., they went back inside the bunker and talked. Neither man could stomach a delay. "If we postpone," Oppenheimer said, "I'll never get my people up to pitch again." Groves was even more adamant that the test should proceed. Finally, they announced their decision. They would schedule the shot for 5:30 a.m. and hope for the best. An hour later, the skies began to clear and the wind abated. At 5:10 a.m., the voice of Sam Allison, the Chicago physicist, boomed across a loudspeaker outside the control center. "It is now 0 minus 20 minutes.